Hi, I'm W2OP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Andrew Sherburn, filmmaker.
John Richard, filmmaker.
Michael Zoss in the film.
And of course, we're here to talk about Saving Brinton at AFI Docs. It screens when, guys?
This Saturday, 4:15 in Silver Spring, and then again on Sunday, 4:15 at the E Street.
That's awesome. You guys got to check out this movie. Before we dive into the general premise, I think it's important to set up who Frank Brinton was. Who wants to take that one? Just for our listeners who might not be film geeks like all of us.
Mike, take this one.
Frank Brinton was from Washington, Iowa, and he was a traveling projection entertainer from about 1879 until the 19-teens. Traveled from Texas to Minnesota, but mostly was in Iowa.
Gotcha. And now that that's out of the way, give him the premise of how you guys came up with how this gentleman figures into this.
Well, so Saving Brinton is as much about Frank as it is about Mike. And Mike happened upon an amazing collection of basically Frank's entire estate, which include 5 hours of film that Frank was using. These were the films that introduced the motion pictures to rural audiences. So if your great-great-grandparents were lived on a farm in the Midwest, these are the films that they would have seen, the very first ones. So, and Mike found these films 30-some years ago and has been working diligently ever since to try to bring them back out into the light. And so it's finally happened, and that's what this movie's all about.
Now, Mike, how did you actually find these? Where was it?
I taught junior high school in Washington, Iowa, and the house where these were in the basement were right close to the junior high. And by chance, I ran into the man cleaning out the basement. And so a few days later, I moved 3 truckloads of things out of the basement.
And did he have any idea what these were? He didn't know the significance of
the words. A little, but he just wanted the basement clean. And so we moved 150 films, 700 magic lantern slides, records, and sound recordings, and everything from starting about the Civil War on to 1915.
Wow. So you moved this treasure trove out of the basement. When do you personally realize that this is a cinephile's goldmine here?
Well, not at first. It took years and years before anybody would think that they were what I thought they were. It took about 30 years, and then people started seeing what was there and deciding that this was a major collection of early film.
Wow. So what all films were actually in there? I think in the trailer, at least, we say there's some Georges Méliès. What else is actually in there? Geek out for a minute.
There's all kinds of films, and they're just incredible, each of them in their own way. There's documentaries. You were once called Actualities, which might be as simple as some footage from Burma or from Egypt. There's footage of the World's Fair. There's some trick films, some of the earliest special effects, the Georges Méliès and Segundo de Chamon, and just countless other short films that really run the gamut of what was available. I think the latest film in the collection was produced in 1908.
1908. Yeah. Not 80, folks. 8.
This is great. That's the newest film.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. And so it's in AFI Docs, but I guess it used to be called Actuality. So it should be AFI Actuals. Actuals? Let's change it. Oh, that's great. How did you actually get in contact with Michael?
Well, we got a tip from a mutual friend who knew that Mike was up to something, knew that he had these things. He Mike had been kind of showing these down in a very small town, Ainsworth, Iowa, about 500 people, for years. But I don't think anyone outside of that town even knew that it was happening. So kind of once word spread all the way up north to Iowa City, which is where we're based, 20 miles away, we heard about it. We went down to meet Mike and see what he had. And, you know, we went down there initially just to see these films, which are marvelous. There's lost films that have, you know, they're the unique copies, only ones in the world. There's some things that were popular in entertainment at the time. So we went for the films, but really we came away from that first meeting with Mike knowing that there was something much more to be said about this man right here.
Now, speaking of this man, Mike, did you sort of fancy yourself as sort of a current present day, Brinton? I mean, you're sitting there showing these movies to a new audience.
I don't think I'm a Mr. Brinton in that he was always looking to the future and I'm always looking to the past. So there would have been a real brief time where we would have intersected.
Nice. But you start screening these, and it's in Iowa, so it's like if you screen them, they will come, right?
Right.
I love it. That's so great. So how do you guys actually, so then you're like, you meet him, you watch these films, you see that you're on a treasure trove here. How do you actually go about structuring the film? Because you're going to have to, obviously, you know, you're going to have to balance archival clips, the film clips, but you can't get too heavy in that. You want to, you know, break it up with actual interviewing Mike here. So talk about sort of the balance there.
Well, I think we knew right away that we had a charismatic leaning man. So
is that true? Do you agree?
He shakes his head, but we know the truth. So part of it was just following Mike on this adventure. He was, you know, he'd been trying for years to get somebody to take notice of these films, but really, we got there kind of at that moment where it started to happen. So we wanted to see, okay, who is going to take notice? What's going to happen? What kind of amazing opportunities are going to present themselves as a result that people are finally in the know about this again? So we followed Mike just about everywhere he went for 3 years. He can probably confirm that. and then we took that footage and we had 5 hours of these early films to work with. And it was just a matter of getting into the editing room and kind of, how do we assemble these things? What's the crossover? How do they, you know, intersect? And, you know, you have to watch the movie, I guess, to figure out how it all gets fit together.
You hear that, guys? You got to come out and watch it. Awesome. So you said you had 5 hours of the actual, you know, silent film clips. How much footage did you wind up with after shooting with Mike? Like, how many hours do you remember?
Oh, easily over 100 hours. I'm not really sure. We didn't really want to keep track too closely.
Over 200.
Yeah, probably over 200. But we filmed him, yeah, all over lots of different shows that he gave, including sort of a big one where we got to do a lot of really cool stuff. Don't want to give too much away in the film, but sure. Yeah, we really tried to make it as much about the films as about what history means to people and the way that objects sort of connect us to history.
Well, give me some of the technical details on the shoot in terms of, you know, what camera did you use, you know, how many, you know, shooting days, that kind of stuff.
We used a really minimal setup. I was a director of photography, and I come from a background in photojournalism, so we used Canon cameras, not terribly expensive cameras, but really good ones. Usually just one microphone and a really small crew. Part of what we wanted to achieve was to really get Mike to be comfortable with us around, which, you know, even after 4 years isn't ever quite happened, but we knew that having a big crew with lots of equipment would sort of take away from what we were trying to accomplish. So it was very, very, very lightweight footprint.
Mike, do you have a favorite of the clips that are in the collection?
Oh, I like lots of them, but probably the one that I've said is my favorite is a man's legs. His body isn't in the film, and there's a sow and 10 pigs. And that's
why is
what's
that your favorite?
Well, I grew up on a farm with 1,010 pigs and such, but I like it because why was it taken? Who was the intended audience? Why did it survive? Did it survive because it was popular, or did it survive because they never showed it? You know, there's a lot of questions. It's just like, why do we have this and why don't we have this? You know.
The sow and the pigs.
Yeah.
And now we have a real ham here, for I can tell, for the subject of it. What has it been like going, you know, on a festival run here? I mean, you're, you know, a history teacher in Iowa, and now you're on the film festival circuit. This is fantastic.
Well, it's a whole part of my life I never expected to experience. Last summer, we were at the Bologna Film Festival in Italy, the oldest film festival in the world, and got to show a film there that was a re-premiere of a film that was thought to have been lost in 1911. And we have other films similar to that were thought to be lost. So I still every day expect I'm going to wake up and will have had fun in my mind, but it's still happening. So.
It's here. It's actually happening. Where else have you guys screened it?
This is actually the world premiere.
Oh, wow, awesome. Vampire Docs is going to be the world premiere.
Yeah,
oh.
So it just happened that that one of the short clips that was restored went to a restoration festival in Bologna. But yeah, this AFI Docs is our world premiere. And really, we couldn't think of a more appropriate place to premiere. I mean, it's a fantastic festival, and the American Film Institute actually played a role in preserving these films 30-some years ago. You know, cellulose nitrate deteriorates into essentially flammable, almost nitroglycerin kind of thing. So it's a wonder that these films survived. You know, 80 or 90% of films of this age do not survive. They crumble. They turn to dust. So these films made it as far as they have, and part of that is in thanks to the American Film Institute.
Yeah, they do great work. When I first heard of this, it reminded me of that. Did you guys ever see that doc by Steve James, Real Paradise, where they show all the old classic movies over, I can't remember what island, it's like Fiji maybe? I can't remember. But what along similar lines, why do you think it's such a ripe subject for a documentary that, you know, to take these classic vestiges of the past and show, and you're making a movie about showing movies to a new audience, but what's sort of the commentary there, you think?
For me, I think we're at such an interesting moment. In some ways, you know, one of the people that we involved in the film, who teaches film down in Texas, compared the era of film that are in the Britton collection as some of the early films on YouTube. It's like a time in the history of film when people really didn't know what to do, that anything was possible, and there weren't really forms that were you could easily make stuff into. So it's a time of great experimentation and excitement.
It's also, you know, it's. I think there's mirrors between kind of the golden age of documentaries, which I think we're in right now, and this early opportunity to show people the world through moving pictures. You know, some of my favorite films from the collection are the actualities, the documentaries, because they're just kind of the most pure window into that time that we could possibly hope to have. You know, shots of Teddy Roosevelt riding in a carriage down Market Street in San Francisco, shots from Burma and Egypt, places around the world that, you know, these people who lived on a farm in Iowa were never going to see otherwise.
You can read it in a history book before then, really. I mean, yeah. These are the first windows.
So it's a chance, I think, to open our mind to the world. And that's hopefully what we can show some people, you know. Frank Britton wanted to bring the world to Iowa, and we want to bring Iowa back out into the world now.
And there's one film in particular that I like that's a man facilitating it's sort of a horrific film, but it's a man facilitating, we believe in India, a fight between a muskrat and a weasel and a snake.
A mongoose.
And a snake. Snake and a mongoose?
And there's some people behind this man, and Mike in one of his shows made the comment that, you know, to this man looking at the snake and the mongoose, that was normal. The weird thing there was the camera.
Oh, that's a good point. That was the new element that had not. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, everything in these films is new.
True.
And you can see people looking to the cameraman and or director, probably was the same person. What do I do next? You can see that because film editing didn't come till later. Yeah. So you can see the actual process.
Did you ever do that? Look at these guys and say, what do I do next?
They didn't give me a lot of direction. They just got stuck with whatever I did mostly.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that was more than enough, your natural world. Awesome, guys. Well, you know, before we go, just in closing, why should our listeners come out? Why check this out? Because they have so many options at AFI Docs of great movies. But why should they find this one and say, hey, this is the one?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of terrific documentaries at the festival, but I think what this film represents and what Mike represents is kind of this coming together, this appreciation for community and history, and these marvels that surround us every day. And if we just slow down a little bit and take a look, we'll be amazed to see what's right next door.
I think there's another layer too that's on there right now. Rural America is such a sort of hot topic or is something that people are thinking about a lot, and I think our film gives a little bit of a look into that world in a way that might be unexpected to some people.
Interesting. That's a good point.
They do a great job of showcasing rural Iowa.
So in addition to all, you know, these great clips you have, it's all around in the background is Iowa.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Well, and you can't see it through the radio, obviously, but Mike's beard alone is worth the price of admission. You gotta check that out.
I think they can feel it through the radio. Awesome, guys. Well, there you go. There's your big teaser. Come see the beard, but also see Saving Britton at AFI Docs. Remind us the dates again.
It's this Saturday, 4:15 in Silver Spring, and then Sunday at 4:15 at the E Street in D.C.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for making this movie, first of all, and best of luck with it. Enjoy the festival, because this is once in a lifetime.
Yep,
this is fantastic.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.